I think I'm always so happy to be amongst you that I'm smiling a lot. I don't know if I look a little idiotic sometimes, but the truth is that I lost my look. Oh, here it's okay. When I'm not here with you on Sundays, I miss you. I long for you. I think that that this becomes for me the way that I begin much of my week, and then I reflect back on it during the week. So I know Father Jason was here with me last week, and I'm very appreciative of that. And but I'm jealous when I'm not here, right? I'm a little jealous. But anyway, so I'll be here with you for the next couple of weeks until the next kind of thing. So it's always good for me to be back. These readings that we have today, often in Advent and Lent we hear from Isaiah. And we hear the suffering servant mostly in Lent from Isaiah. But today we hear how Isaiah is seeking to conquer Israel in exile. How Isaiah is reminding the people of Israel, and I think reminding us, that this God who loves us often loves us as a mother. I think about that. I think about what it is in my own life that sometimes brings me comfort. And in the midst of my anxiety, sometimes nothing can really settle me down. But when I move through the anxiety, there's a peace that comes over me. And maybe it is because I have some experiences with someone who loves me well and shares some of those issues with, or because I remember that in the midst of my anxiety, that God is not very far from me, because that's what I'm telling you every week, right? And so when I remember that, but there's this peace that comes over me, and this image that Isaiah gives us of a God who holds us in God's arms, and who fondles us, and who nurses us, who suckles us, is a beautiful, beautiful image. I think it's often the feminine dimension of God. As you know, theologically, we're told that we are created in the image of God. In the image of God, He created us, male and female, He created us. So that whoever we are, there must be an image of God of that, right? And so this image of God as the feminine becomes really an important dimension for many of us. We don't always highlight that. And it's interesting that the Gospel of Luke speaks more about women than any of the other Gospels and identifies to us in many important ways. But this image of God who comes to us to comfort us, to bring us peace, I think is one of the most beautiful images. If any of you have been to Rome and you walk into St. Peter's Basilica, right on the right is the statue of the Pietà. It is breathtaking. You cannot miss it. But the imagery of the mother holding Jesus in her arms is one that I think gives us all some comfort. And that's what Isaiah is trying to say to us and to the people of Israel. Please don't lose hope that God will restore our fortune. But in the meantime, God holds us in his bosom. God holds us close to us and nurtures us and moves with us in very real ways. We continue with Paul's letter to the church at Galatia. And I think we talked a little bit about the fact that Paul certainly seemed to have some difficulties. But in the church at Galatia, he went and founded this church. And then other apostles, other disciples, went through Galatia and were stirring up trouble. They were saying that Paul wasn't really an apostle. And so in the book of Galatia, in the letter to the Galatians, Paul lays out almost a legal argument. It's really amazing. I think in all of his letters, this one in particular, shows the depths of Paul's training as a Pharisee. And he speaks, there's one what we call not propositio after the other. And so what he does is he proposes in an apologetic format that he indeed is an apostle. And at the end, he says, I don't have to defend myself any longer. Peace be with you, right? But what he's trying to say to the church of Galatia, and I think he's trying to say that to us, is don't let anything divide us. Don't let anything separate us. Don't let anything, even he says here, he uses circumcision and those who are circumcised and those who are not circumcised, which was the mark of the people of Israel. And so for a time in the church, it was believed that Christians had to become Jewish before they become Christians. But at the Council of Jerusalem, that was settled. And so Paul is reminding the church at Galatia, and he reminds the church at Corinth, too. It's a frequent theme that Paul has, that when it comes to the love of God, nothing can separate us. There is nothing that can separate us. Last week we heard there's no Jew or Greek, there's no slave or free, there's no male or female. And again, he reinforces that. That when it comes to the fact that God loves us, and for us in the Christian tradition, loved us so much that he sent his only son to die on the cross and be resurrected, then at the foot of the cross we're all on level ground. Nothing can separate us. No one's better than anyone else. And so Paul is reminding the church of Galatia, he's saying to them, is don't let anything separate you. Anything that comes to us in the midst as a message from God that doesn't bring the ability to bring some unity and some peace, we should look at it with some suspicion, right? And so Paul is reminding the church of Galatia that God's word, the way that Christ appeared to his disciples, always comes with peace. And so he's reminding them, in his own defense, that the gospel that he is preaching is that which he was told to preach from Jesus Christ and was not his own. And so he reminds the church of Galatia, and us in many ways, right? That nothing should separate us from the love of God. In the letter to Romans, he says that very directly. He says, what can separate us from the love of God? And the answer is nothing, right? So nothing can. And then finally, in this Gospel of Luke, it's interesting. Luke continues the theme here. Luke's theology, as we talk about, is really to shake up the world. That those who are raised up will be bowed down. Those who are first will be last. God comes in surprising ways to us in the Gospel of Luke. One of Luke's major themes really is Jesus as Lord, the God who comes to us in the second person of the Blessed Trinity, but is also the Messiah, the anointed one of Christ. Even in chapter 4 of Luke, the programmatic passage, Jesus stands up in the synagogue at Nazareth, and he is handed the scroll by the attendant. And the passage that he reads is I have come to anoint you with oil. I have come to set the captives free. I have come to make the blind see and the lame walk. And then Jesus closes the scroll and gives it back to the attendant and says, today you're hearing this has come true. And so I often think about that for us when Allison got up and read and Karen got up and read. This has been going on forever. We take our turns to stand up in the place where we gather to read the word of God to each other and hopefully to be nourished by that. So in the Gospel of Luke, he continues in this particular passage his themes of turning things upside down, and of preaching a message that the kingdom of God is here, don't wait for it, and of reconciliation. It's interesting because Luke sends the disciples out two by two. The most famous pair that gets sent out are who are the four most famous pair that we hear about all the time? Paul and Barnabas, right? But they get sent out two by two. But Jesus sends us out two by two for many reasons. First, to support each other. Secondly, to give witness, right, to the gospel. And thirdly, to begin to build community. And so they get sent out two by two, but he warns them. He said, I'm sending you out like lambs to wolves. And so he said, be careful, because you have to preach the gospel of the Lord in good times and in bad, and in many places it will not be received as gently. And so he reminds them, as he told us last week in the gospel, that if we want to follow Jesus, we have to take up our crosses. And so he says, not all of the time is the message going to be received with open arms and be welcomed. And he says, so I send you like lambs into the midst of wolves. I send you with the message of peace to a world that always won't receive peace. And I send you with the message of tolerance, and I send you with the message of unity to a world that doesn't always value that the way that we value it. And so he sends the disciples out two by two, and they go out and they preach the word, and they come back very excited. And this is where Luke's theme of the great kind of reversal shows itself. They're very excited that in Christ's name they can drive out demons and that the scorpions and the snakes, which for all time have been emblems of evil, they've always been somewhat symbols of what can hurt us. And so they said that we can even we're not even harmed by these things. And Jesus reminds them in the end that it's okay to rejoice about that, but it's greater to rejoice in the fact that our names are written in the heart of God. And that's what he reminds us. I think he tells us is to not take upon ourselves some of the trappings of the world, but to remember that in the end, the reality of God's love for us is that our names are written in His heart. And he reminds us that that's what we should rejoice over, right? That we should rejoice that the fact that God's love for us is so tremendous that He knows our names. And in other passages, not only does He know our name, but He knows the number of hairs on our head. And so Jesus in the Gospel of Luke is reminding the apostles, reminding the disciples that He sent out, that the fruits of our labor sometimes are well received, sometimes they're not. But whether they are or not, what we really should rejoice in is the fact that we live in the kingdom of God. That because of God's love for us, whose Son came to redeem us, that our lives have been transformed by that. And so that when we come here, I think, on warm Sundays like this, and we listen to the gospel, and we hear maybe how God speaks to us in different ways, I think that sometimes it may help us to remind ourselves that Jesus, in many ways, asks us to be like a child in His arms. He asks us to lay down all of the things that maybe are troubling us or weighing us down, all of those things that maybe we have some difficulty with, and to receive the word gently, to be moved by God in gentle ways, to move in peaceful ways with Him. So let's continue our celebration, shall we?